Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 105 in Edmonton. Love having Brian Lawton on the show. Always an interesting perspective. This is the second hour of Oilers Now, brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Special thanks to Sarah Fox and Kellen Kennedy. Short notice pinch hitting on today's edition of Oilers Now is a big part of the show. Brendan Escott's going to be down for a couple days here. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. And you can text us, and we will get to some of your texts probably at about 123 today on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer, and tweet Brendan at Brendan Escott. Japanese Village, open a serve you to any one of their five Edmonton and area locations featuring Japanese A5 Wagyu. Visit jvedmonton.ca. I have to relay something that went out on Twitter. Sometimes you need a chuckle, and I got one, and it occurred involving the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. If you've not seen this, last night Carolina, after they beat Boston 7-1, and Carolina's got a good team, but Boston's played pretty well of late. Carolina tweeted out, and they've got a very assertive social media department. The Hurricanes tweeted out, L stands for Lamborghini. Final score was 7-1. Brad Marchand responded today from the Boston Bruins. You're still the reason we pay 20% in escrow. Oh, man. That is funny. Oh, I needed a laugh, and that's a funny response from a player who I know a prominent Oiler player one time, and as this guy's career was really taking off, Brad Marchand skated up to him and said, "You're not that good, you know." And then the guy really went supersonic gin and tonic, and the next time he played him, he's like, "All right, I'll concede you're better than I thought." They both started laughing. Brad Marchand's a funny guy. That, again, the Hurricanes, after their 7-1 victory last night, L stands for Lamborghini. Brad Marchand's response today, "You're still the reason we pay 20% in escrow." Oh, that's funny. That has me laughing. To the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, we welcome back to the show our provincial affairs columnist and from the Cult of Hockey, a very popular Oilers blog. We welcome back David Staples. How you doing, David?
Great, Bob. How you doing?
Good. That's an effective use of Twitter on behalf of Brad Marchand, isn't it?
That was great. That was great. And, you know, from the Edmonton's perspective, we can remember all those years, decades, where the Oilers were just, you know, one of the bottom revenue teams in the NHL, you know, the bottom five, maybe right at the bottom.
Yep.
And there was very little assistance. And now that the Oilers have been, you know, top, I don't know where they at, you know, somewhere between in the top 10. I mean, they were the sixth highest most valued franchise in the latest Forbes rankings. And now that they're one of the half teams, of course, there's all of this money going to the weaker teams from the more wealthy franchises. So it's a little bit frustrating from an Edmonton perspective, well, just in that regard.
You know, and just to provide a little bit more perspective on this for the listeners, Edmonton, Calgary, and Ottawa from 2000, 2001 till 2003-04 received about $3 million a year in what was called the Canadian Assistance Program, the CAP. And then they got in a hard cap after 2004. 04-05. Well, what happened is when we came back from 04-05, where hockey mattered, the fans came back, and there was a slower return in the States. And the Oilers, of course, went on an extended playoff run in 05-06 and went to the Stanley Cup Final and were a revenue contributor that year. And basically, off the top of my head, I know, and I guess I'll exclude up until March of 2020, but all but one season from 05-06 to the end of 1920, Edmonton contributed to revenue sharing. And I think the only year they didn't was the last year at Rexall Place, and that's because the Canadian dollar plummeted. Okay, so the valuation of the Canadian dollar sort of... So most years, I know that, and this is important, the league's going to announce, David, I think today at 3:30, the new schedule. The Oilers have got 9 games postponed so far. They'll have a bunch of games between the 7th to the 21st. I know that for a fact, of February. But there was a report out there in Elliott Friedman's 32 Thoughts, great piece, about the fact that Edmonton and Montreal, $2.3 million per home gate. They're not making that in the States. Case in point, when Edmonton went to go play over in Gothenburg, Sweden, New Jersey got $900,000. That's because that was more than they make for their home gates in New Jersey. And New Jersey's an uber-wealthy team. They own the 76ers. They've hired lots of people away from other organizations. They get revenue sharing. And Edmonton contributes to revenue sharing and has basically done it every year that we've had fans, with the exception of one, dating back to 05-06.
I guess it's a good thing. I mean, in the end, it allows the Oilers to spend to the top of the cap, something they couldn't before there was a cap. They just couldn't compete for players. So I mean, I am grumbling a bit here, but it's obviously a good thing for the Oilers franchise to be on solid financial footing. So
yeah, no question about that. Well, the team's on solid financial footing, but the fan base is exasperated. They will stick up for their players. There's no, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, for me, I look at Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jesse Puljujärvi as two guys that in this market are almost sacred cows. Now, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is one of the nicest people and will engage everybody and is never, doesn't show a lot of exasperation and frustration. Puljujärvi's a little bit different. I think there's just so many people pulling him for him. But the fan base, you know, it's funny. The fan base is more willing to call out the general manager and the head coach. And last week we heard Ken Holland say, look, I built this team. And, David, how much is this just recently, because there's a lot of negativity out there, how much of this is just a byproduct of, you know, only playing one game over, what's it been, about a two-week run here and not being able to address the stretch where the team's gone 2-9-2 and now 2-10-2?
Well, it hasn't given people a lot to chew on in the terms of new games. And I mean, the game that we're chewing on is the Ottawa game, right, which was probably the most disappointing game of the year. A must-win game, you know, where they give up a 3-1 lead. So the lack of games has been a factor. You know, on the other hand, it's happened when it's given Hyman a chance to get healthy. He looked a heck of a lot better against yes. Ottawa than he looked previously. It's giving Nugent Hopkins, he's been out. He's out now with injury, and it's giving him time to get better. It's giving all the players who have COVID on the Oilers time to fully recover. So, you know, if there had been more games, it might be worse because the Oilers might have lost more games. It's giving Mike Smith a little bit of breathing room here to get better without any games. So the Oilers have been missing some key players off and on. You just look at the lineup, it's been chaos for the last 6 weeks with the Edmonton Oilers. Surely that's one of the factors that has hampered the team. Though I think that, you know, Leon Draisaitl was asked yesterday, what is the biggest factor in a now famous exchange with Jim Matheson? And I think the answer, I think it's really two things. It's goaltending. That's the two things, goaltending. It's also a little bit less effectiveness on the power play, but really it comes down to goaltending of the other team being so strong against the Oilers and the Oilers suffering in net a bit.
Well, the Oilers have gone 2-10-2. 5 of the 10 losses have been against teams that are in the top 10 in the standings, including 2 games against the Maple Leafs, which makes nobody happy. Toronto's got the best record in the league since November the 1st. So they've lost to some good teams, and the numbers speak for themselves. And you know, it's not like Draisaitl's going to sit there and say, well, goaltending. He can't do that. We can do that and say the goaltending needs to be better. Darnell Nurse spoke yesterday but talked about, you know, the team needing to focus to get the goals against down collectively, this, not just on the goaltenders. But at the end of the day, you got to have save percentages that are above .882. And that's the best of the save percentages between Stuart Skinner, Smith, and Koskinen during this 14-game run. You're going to need more stops, but they've also got to dedicate themselves to playing better team defense as well, David.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's particularly on the PK, they're giving up more really super high-quality chances than they are previously. We're starting to see kind of more cross-seam passes leading to one-timer shots, including the winning goal in the Ottawa game. We're seeing that a little bit more frequently than we saw previously. Now, I don't know what the other stats are saying, but in our tracking at the Cult of Hockey of grade A shots, we're seeing exactly the same number of grade A shots given up in the huge, when they were winning and when they're losing. We haven't seen a marked decrease or increase in the number of grade A shots that the Oilers are giving up. They're creating a little bit less on the attack, mainly because their power play isn't good, but their defense is about the same. And so I think it's mainly goaltending. I think that their goalies are not coming up with the big save, and it's absolutely debilitating for any team when that's happening, when they can't count on their goaltenders. It's a confidence crusher. It destabilizes the whole team, creates a sour mood, and I think that's what's the main thing that's going on.
Yeah, you're behind early in games. Obviously, that's a factor as well. Just to we've talked about this before. So you're doing chances, basically high danger scoring chances for and against on average in the 21 game, 16-5 start. What were the numbers? How many chances were they creating for per game, and how many chances were they giving up per game?
When they were the best team in the NHL, they were creating 14 grade A shots a game and giving up 12. And now they're creating about 13 and giving up 12. There isn't a huge difference that we're seeing in the grade A shots, and we're doing it. Whether we're doing it right or wrong, we're using the same standards throughout both time periods. And we're not seeing this Oilers team isn't collapsing. They're getting more grade A shots on average, even in this losing streak, than the opposition. So what I've seen, you know, what I'm seeing is some great goaltending at the other end of the ice. I think that's part of it. That's part of what's going on. And they're not getting as many power play opportunities. They're not getting as much power play ice time per game. It's down about 30 seconds a game in the losing streak, and that's impacting their ability to get off, because you get your very, very best grade A shots on the power play, and the Oilers aren't getting as many of them. But again, I just think it really does. This one factor, this huge factor, is biting the Oilers right now, and it's up to Ken Holland. I think you guys were talking about it with Speck. This is really up to Ken Holland to address. He took a risk going into the season. It's blown up in his face right now, and he's got to figure out a way to fix this.
Okay, and you're referring, obviously, to the goaltending. Just yeah. On the scoring chances for scoring, I'm going to ask you this for the 17th time over the last 4 years. Is there any chance you have a bias that favors the Oilers? Like, you give Edmonton more credit for scoring chances than you would at the opposition? Because some might say there'd be a natural bias since you're a guy that cares about the Edmonton Oilers. Is there any chance? Or do you think you're fairly neutral in your assessment?
Well, we really care mostly. Our goal is fairness and accuracy. So, you know, to do that, we have standards that we use. I do the initial chances, and Bruce McCurdy goes over them, and we have a discussion. Is this a chance? Is this not a chance? We publish our results so people can look at it, and if we get it wrong, they can talk to us about it. So our goal is to be fair and accurate, but you can never rule out bias. So we try to control for that bias by being public, being transparent, and having two people go over the numbers. So it's always a possibility, Bob. Bias in any endeavor like that, which is subjective, is an issue. And what you do is you try to take steps to limit it, to recognize it's an issue and try to limit it as much as possible.
What sort of, like, when people respond back, like, have you done a survey to say, you know, like, obviously everybody's focusing on the goaltending, and that's fair when you take a look at the save percentages over the last 14 games. We all know the Oilers. The goalies would be the first to tell you, we need to give the team more stops. All three of the guys that have played goal would say that, because that's the kind of guys they are. There's been a recent sort of impetus that Edmonton's been too easy to play against. I had some concerns even when the team was winning games during the end of that 16-5 stretch. I put a couple names out there. Nathan Bastian for me. You were going to have to trade for him. You weren't getting him on waivers because I knew New Jersey was going to claim him back. Actually, five teams put claims in on him. But, you know, do you buy the belief that Edmonton's too easy to play against? That message has been out there over the last three or four days. The Oilers have to find a way to become more difficult to play against.
Yeah, I do. There's something to it. I mean, here's, and this is just anecdotal. It's not based on any kind of statistical analysis. But when Marcus Niemelainen joined the team, why did it seem like such a huge thing? He started to come out there and blow up opposition players with some big checks. And it suddenly, it was like a revelation to every Oilers fan, like, wow, look at this guy doing it. And it's because we haven't seen that on this team. This team lacks that element of the big hitter. I mean, Darnell Nurse started out the year doing eight hits a game. He couldn't keep that up. Zach Cassian has lost a bit of his edge as a hitter, I'm going to suggest. You don't see him able to make those big hits as much. Josh Archibald is sorely missed. He was providing that last year, you know, that guy a couple times a game who would just plaster, you know, the opposition members. And so when we saw Niemelainen, it was like a huge light went off for everybody, like, wow, this is an element the Oilers are missing. Because, you know, Niemelainen is not a great two-way hockey player right now at the NHL level, but everyone's going to, he might make the team because this is just such a missing part of the Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah, I think it's something they need. And it's hard to find, though, Bob. It's hard to find that forward or defenseman who's going to come in here who can both play and provide that physical element.
Different game today as well. David, we'd be remiss. Your provincial affairs columnist, and there's some interesting, I don't know if you saw it today. I always look to the UK when I look over in Europe. Sometimes, you know, I look to the United States, and I admit I got a bit of a bias. I follow the news out of the UK. Maybe part of it's because I'm a late-blooming soccer fan, and also the United States, in terms of what's happening politically. And today, Boris Johnson, the United Kingdom is changing their rules. They are moving away from, they still have some restrictions, but they're moving away from lockdowns, and they're going to be moving away from masks as well. And basically, Boris Johnson stated last weekend that we're just going to have to come to terms with the fact that we're going to have to live with COVID, and we're going to have to protect the most vulnerable, but we're going to have to get on with their lives. And you watch the national championship game and there's 90,000 fans. You're watching the NFL playoff games, there's 90,000 fans. You're watching the NHL games and there's, you know, 15 to 19,000 fans at all the games in the States. And we've got empty buildings in Ontario, half full buildings in Alberta and BC. What do you make? Do you think Canada's going to follow suit when they see other national governing bodies kind of moving the goalposts a bit here, dealing with COVID? You've been a guy that's been covering this now for the last 20 months.
Bob, I think it's going to surprise people how quickly the restrictions are going to go away here in Alberta and in the rest of Canada. I think it's going to happen fast, and it's going to happen soon. And the reason is this. Omicron, there was a study done recently, you know, and we can all look at the numbers ourselves, but this is a researcher who understands stats. It peaks after 30 days in place after place after place. It looks like it's happening right now in Alberta. We've had it for more than 30 days now. The case counts are coming down. The positivity rate's going down a little bit. Looks like we're heading down the downward slope. Most people feel like they're, and their loved ones are now protected from Omicron and from COVID because of the vaccines and because of improved therapeutics. People are more aware than ever before of how lockdown harms people, especially young people, our kids, and are absolutely sick to death of restrictions. The moment it looks reasonable and safe to get rid of these restrictions, they are gone. And it's not going to be the government that's going to push this across Canada. It's going to be the people standing up and saying, enough. We're ready to get back with our regular lives. We're ready to live again. I mean, I love George Laroque's rant last week on your show, just the frustration he was experiencing. And he was speaking for all of us, for most of us, I should say. But I think the vast majority of people, as soon as it's safe, and it's looking like that's going to be soon, we're going to get rid of these restrictions and get back to living regular life. Now, whether COVID throws us another loop, that's a different question. But I think the restrictions are going to be gone late February, early March. By the second anniversary of the pandemic, we're going to be living free again.
Ooh, well, that's a brazen prediction. It was interesting again, and all you need to do is just type up Boris Johnson today. And not a lot of people think he's a buffoon, but he's certainly an opinionated guy and an interesting perspective. And I wonder whether or not people have just said enough's enough in Great Britain, and away we go. David, great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet. That is David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. It's 124 in Edmonton. When we get back, we're going to bang off some texts here on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. You're listening to Oilers Now. 128 in Edmonton. You heard Cam Moon talk about it. Cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford and Wetaskiwin, 10-time President's Award winners for customer satisfaction. Right now, the best way to get a vehicle is to custom order one. Discounts are available from both Brent Ridge Ford and from the Ford Motor Company on most custom orders. Get the exact equipment and colors that you want. Reach out to Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at BrentRidge.com or at 1-877-477-3673. This text comes to us out of Las Vegas. It's the Chisler. Definitely not a soccer enthusiast, Stoff. Love the busting upon and chuckling on the Brad Marchand tweet. He just also wanted to add, hey, Stoff, case count up sky high in Vegas, 18,000, after we just had David Staples on the show. Fletch in Calgary says David Staples is a great guest, and he brings numbers to a game that's relied too much on subjectivity for too long. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, could the Edmonton Oilers maybe get Chara? Looks like the Islanders are out. Chara would give them toughness, leadership, and a boost to the third pair. Well, I love Zdeno Chara. He's played his whole career in the Eastern Conference, right? Don't know about it. And Mark says, Bob, looks like just about everybody in the Oilers organization got COVID except you. See, COVID doesn't even like you. That text comes to us from Mark. Or I've just been really lucky. Or if you have a steady diet of Bailey's and coffee in the morning and pound back a Red Bull, maybe that's the magic elixir. I got to reach out to Joe Rogan on that and see if that works. Bob, what do you think is the likelihood that Ken Holland will make a move for a goaltender? Well, I found Brian Lawton's comments pretty interesting. He thinks something's going to get done between now and the trade deadline. We'll continue down that path with John Shannon after we go to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.